We have started a series on the book of Jonah. We looked at Jonah chapter 1 last time. So today we look at Jonah chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 10. All the verses of Jonah chapter 2. That's page 1437 in your pew Bible. Let's look at Jonah chapter 2 today. I'll read the passage. I'll say this is the word of the Lord. And the congregation responds saying together, thanks be to God. Jonah chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I vowed I'll make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we're looking at Jonah chapter 2 today. Most of what this chapter consists of is a psalm. It's a song written by Jonah while he was in the belly of the great fish. I don't suspect Jonah had a pen and a pad of paper with him while he was in there. I suspect he just made up something, kept singing it, and memorizing it. Later on, he just wrote it down. But in this chapter, we find the words to Jonah's song. How did Jonah get inside that great fish again? Well, chapter 1 tells us all about that. If you remember from last time we were together, God called Jonah to prophesy to the people of Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do that. And so instead of going east to Nineveh, he went west to Tarshish, on board a ship. He tried to run away from the Lord, which of course is impossible. And so while he was running away from the Lord, the all-present, all-powerful, all-personal God, as we talked about last time, came and sought Jonah out. God sent a great, big, ferocious storm. Right away, Jonah knew that it was from the Lord. And so to make the storm calm, Jonah suggested to the sailors that he be thrown overboard. And that's what they finally do. The storm suddenly calms down, and as Jonah goes down, 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 a great fish comes and swallows him up. In our scripture reading, as we find the psalm Jonah sang from inside the belly of the fish. Many people today question if this story is historical, if it really happened. I can see why people would question this. I mean, when was the last time you heard of someone getting swallowed up by a great big sea creature and living to tell the tale? I don't know too many. So is it historical? A few things. First of all, we need to understand that the biblical writers, they were always bent on recording history as it happened. Historical accuracy, that was a big concern for all the biblical writers. It's noteworthy that other biblical writers, be they in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, assume the historicity to the story of Jonah. Jesus assumes its historicity in Matthew 12, verses 39 to 41. And so we have to conclude that this did happen somehow. And how did it happen? Well, we have to admit that this story is clearly a miracle. And it makes no difference what he was actually swallowed by. The text says he was swallowed by a great fish. But it has to be admitted that in the Hebrew, that term can refer to a fish, a whale, or any other large marine animal. Either way, surviving such an ordeal is a miracle. In the past, some scholars from long ago have tried to argue differently. Maybe it's not really a miracle. It has been said that you actually can be swallowed by a sea animal and actually survive to tell about it. It's been documented, so it has been said. Personally, I find such reports rather doubtful, and I know no scholar today who will try to defend such a theory. It has to be admitted, this is very much a miracle. And of course it's a miracle. It's a miracle because what happens with this story is a type. It is a foreshadow of what happens as well with Jesus Christ. In Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus talks about how as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus, of course, is talking about his death and resurrection here. Jesus' death and his resurrection is the miracle of all miracles, right? Of course it is. So understand then, this great miracle is foreshadowed in the miracle of Jonah being inside the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. An unbelievable thing has happened here. As it is, in Jonah chapter 2, we find the song Jonah sang while he was in that fish. Let's look at the song a bit. What does Jonah sing about here? He sings about his near-death experience. Jonah recounts how he was hurled into the waters by the Lord himself. He recounts how he went down, down, down to Sheol, that is, the land of the dead. But Jonah cried out to the Lord, and God saved him. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And so in his song, Jonah makes his vows to sacrifice to the Lord his God again at his temple. In the last line, Jonah makes his concluding profession of faith, as it were. He sings it out. Salvation comes from the Lord. Everything kind of culminates in this. Salvation comes from the Lord. I want to point out that not only is this line the conclusion to Jonah's song, it is also the poetic center of the whole book. Everything in this book hinges around this truth. Salvation comes from the Lord. It's the poetic center of the book. It is the central truth of the entire Bible. It's true, is it not? Salvation comes from the Lord. And so this story is all about this truth. Of course, does Jonah fully understand what he's all singing about here? Does he understand all of this? That's a very good question. Let me put it another way. After going through this harrowing experience, are we to conclude now that Jonah has finally learned his lesson? That now he is willing and ready to obey his God? That now he will gladly serve his God? Are we to conclude that Jonah is finally totally redeemed now? That he's transformed? Is he all changed? Let us not quickly jump to that conclusion. It's very interesting that when we look at Jonah's song closely, we find no confession of guilt. He does not confess any of his sins here. There's no repentance. Not really. Oh, in verse 9, he does vow to make sacrifices. I suspect that's the first thing he will do once he returns to the land. He will go straight to the temple in Jerusalem and make sacrifices to his God. But you see, here's the thing. This is not what God has asked him to do right now. His job is not to go make sacrifice, be it in Jerusalem or anywhere. His job is to go to Nineveh and to preach the word. But is Jonah willing and ready to do that? No, he isn't. Once Jonah does get back to land, God has to tell him again, Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. And when you read the rest of the book, especially chapter 4, we see that Jonah, he goes to Nineveh rather reluctantly. He goes kind of like shuffling his feet. He goes like dragging his feet. And when he finally does preach the word there, and the people of Nineveh repent, so that God does not send his judgment upon them, how does Jonah respond? He's mad. He's displeased with God. God has wasted his time. God did not do what Jonah wanted. My point is, even after Jonah's near-death experience, he's not really changed yet. He still wants to do things kind of his own way. What he wants is to be that self-serving Israelite who can still go and make his sacrifices like he always does, serve God the way that he wants to, be the typical prideful, self-serving Israelite who thinks only of himself and forgets the rest of the world. That's Jonah even after this. Jonah sings about the Lord's salvation in his song, but he doesn't apply it really to his own life. Not really. He looks at things too narrowly, too superficially. For him, salvation means being saved from just physical death. If God saves him from physical death, that's good enough for him. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, I'm not dead. Yep, he sings about the Lord's salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. But in the end, he doesn't know what that really means. He doesn't know what he's singing. And Jonah's not the only person who does this. It happens a lot. It happens to us. We live our own happy, merry little lives. But then God calls us to a particular life of service. But then we run away from God, right? But then all of a sudden something bad happens. We get really sick, or we almost die, right? Or we get caught in a horrific car accident of sorts. There is steel and metal. Smash. Tires are flying around all over the place. Fenders totally crushed. And we cry out, oh, Lord, save me. And miraculously he does. And we say, wow, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm saved. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's what we say. And who wouldn't? God did it, and we praise him. But are we really changed? Are we? Many of us maybe are not. You know, last time I said that Jonah as a person is a picture of Israel as a whole. Jonah is a type of Israel. As Jonah was called to service, so was Israel called to service. Israel was called to serve the Lord as a nation. Israel was to be a living witness among the nations. As Jonah ran away from the Lord, so did Israel. That's why this book was written. Israel, during the time of Jeroboam II, was also running away from the Lord. Israel was doing this. And you know, Jonah is a type also in this sense. As Jonah went down into the water to face death, so did Israel. When did Israel as a nation go down into the water? Sure, at the time of the Exodus, remember? God delivered Israel from the land of Egypt, and then he led them through the Red Sea. They could have drowned, but they didn't. And after the Red Sea experience, Miriam and the people, they all basically sang, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." But did they really know what they were singing? Were they really changed? Many were not. Many didn't have a clue what they were singing. Many died afterwards in the wilderness. So Jonah's experience is also a picture of Israel's experience. Jonah is a picture of Israel, and in a real sense, Jonah is also a picture of us. I mean, in a real sense, all of us, as part of the church, have also gone through the waters. Of course. It happened when we were baptized. Baptism is a picture. It is a symbol of our drowning, of our going into death. It's a picture of our salvation. It's in baptism that God says, "I have brought you through the waters. You're mine." But now here's the thing. Just because we all went through that experience on the outside does not mean that we are necessarily changed on the inside. Absolutely not. Baptism, it calls for that change. It calls for it. Are you changed? True salvation, it involves at least two things. In true salvation, there is a putting to death of the old sinful self. The old person of sin in us has to drown. And in true salvation, there is a rising to life, a whole new self, a changed person. And so there's this death and rising thing going on. Both have to happen. According to Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism, that's conversion. We need to be changed. Are you changed? Maybe you are like Jonah. On Sunday, you sing, "Salvation comes from the Lord." But on Monday, you drink like a fish. You drink like the world does. No different. After a busy day, you gather with a bunch of friends, and you have 5 or 6 pints. Hey, I'm not as bad as Joe. I mean, he had 7 or 8. I only had 5. Huh? What is this? Christians behave this way? On Sunday, we sing, "Salvation comes from the Lord." But on Monday, you still treat your wife like dirt. You yell at her. You cut her up. You swear at her. Hey, you say, "She did it to me first." On Sunday, we sing, "Salvation belongs to our God." But on Monday, you say the F word again and again and again. Or you continue your stealing or your gambling. Or you continue watching pornography or whatever else. And on it goes. And we think it's okay because on Sunday, we go to the temple. We make our sacrifices, and we sing it again. "Salvation belongs to our God." That can't be. We have to change. Now, of course, change does not happen all by itself, and neither does it happen on our own strength. True change on the inside is always a miracle. It's a miracle worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we all need to look to Jesus Christ. The miracle happens through him. You know, it's interesting. In the New Testament, Matthew 12, the Pharisees, they doubt Jesus and they test him. They say, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. Show us a miracle." And Jesus says, "I'm not going to show you a miracle. What do you think this is, a magic show? No signs for you except one, the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Keep your eyes out for that miracle. Well, that miracle Jesus did for you and for me. Jesus Christ went down into Sheol to the land of the dead while he was on the cross to pay for our sin. He went into death for you and for I. And he arose. He arose. And he gives new life, a resurrection life, a changed life. So here's the gospel. When we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and repentance, then we begin to change. We put to death the old self and we bring to life the new. God gives us that and he calls us to it. We must give our lives to Christ. And so we must daily put to death the old self. We must daily bring to life the new. We must undergo a true baptism. What happens on the outside has to become real on the inside. We don't need Jonah's baptism here. We need Christ's baptism. God calls us to a new life in Jesus Christ by his Spirit, so that on Sunday when we sing "Salvation belongs to our God," we know exactly what we're singing. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the book of Jonah, and we thank you, Father, for the things that we can learn as well from this song, this baptism song of Jonah. And we pray, Father, that we may undergo a true baptism in Jesus Christ, so that what is shown on the outside is applied to the inside by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we may put to death the old self of sin and that we may bring to life a whole new self in Jesus Christ that lives for your praise and honor and glory. Bless communion tonight to that end. We pray, Father, that even Vacation Bible School in the coming week may just be our song of praise. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And may we sing that, may we live that, make it a reality in all of our hearts and all of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.